This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will take a look back at last night as President Obama and Mitt Romney squared off in Boca Raton, Florida, the other big BR, and wage battle in a debate over foreign policy, debate number three. We'll talk about it with Republican John Treen and Democrat Joe Delpit. Also on the show today, Walter Mansour. He is the President and Chief Executive Officer of the East Baton Rouge Parish Redevelopment Authority, longtime Politico in this area, and he has a three-year progress report that he has unveiled regarding his organization. All this today, but first the news on 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number outside the area, 877-217-5757. You may reach us online, inkstershow@wrkf.org. And Kevin Gallagher is producing. We lead off with Walter Mansour, longtime Baton Rouge Politico, President and Chief Executive Officer of the East Baton Rouge Parish Redevelopment Authority. And late last week, Walter Mansour unveiled a progress report on his organization after 3 years. And good morning to you, Walter.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing well. As I mentioned, you've been around in this town for a long time in prominent places.
Well, I have been, and I've been fortunate to have been involved in some government work and a lot of community work over the span that I've been in Baton Rouge, which was since I was a freshman at LSU in 1961.
1961. LSU went 10-1 that year, you remember?
They did.
Lost to Rice 16-3 and then won every game after that.
You've got a great memory.
Well, you also worked for a quarterback at LSU.
I did.
Pat Skreen.
We were we competed against each other in high school and were freshmen together at LSU and got to be very, very good friends. Pat was the godfather of one of my children. And when he became mayor, I got the Coors distributorship in Shreveport, moved to Shreveport. And then when I came back, I had the opportunity to serve him as a chief administrative officer for about a year.
Last month marked the 18th anniversary of his death, and there probably isn't a week that goes by, and I don't think of Pat Skreen. He was a big part of our community.
He was, and he was a special talent, unfortunately, one that left us too soon. Pat was very talented, not only on the football field, but obviously in life, and unfortunately just had problems that he couldn't deal with.
He went to Jesuit in New Orleans, and you said you competed against him?
Right. I was at Byrd High School in Shreveport, and it just so happens in our senior year we competed against each other in the state quarterfinals in two of the three major sports.
That's how you met him?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It was. We played them for the quarterfinals in football. At that time, AAA was as high as you went. They came to came to Shreveport, and I met him. I was head cheerleader cheerleader at Byrd High School. Ended up becoming head cheerleader at LSU, but met him on the football field, and then we competed against each other in baseball also.
Who won those games?
They did.
He was pretty good.
He was a multi-talented athlete, had a tremendous number of scholarships offered and came to LSU and, of course, did well.
And then more recently, you worked for another mayor, Kip Holden.
Actually, I did.
Whose nickname, Kip, comes from the miler, Kip Keno, because Kip was a pretty good athlete in his day.
Right. He was a runner. He's still running today, in fact.
Yeah, he's always running, isn't he?
2 weeks from today, he hopes to be through running. So,
well, he, was involved in you becoming president of this organization, the Redevelopment Authority. What's the genesis of the group?
The genesis is that there was discussion about a redevelopment authority prior to the Portland trip in 2007. That the canvas, the business community canvas trip took. they saw at that time, the business leaders and the mayor, of course, led that trip, saw the assets and the tremendous job that the Portland Development Authority had done over the course of several years, and came back convinced that that was the vehicle that needed to be created for Baton Rouge to help revitalize and redevelop Baton Rouge.
And after 3 years, what's the scorecard?
Well, we think the scorecard is very good. We have, over a three-year period, deployed almost $69 million in either tax credits or hard cash, and have created some 3,350 or saved 3,350 jobs, 760 affordable housing units, $130 million in personal income that we've created, as well as $200 million in project costs. We've generated $8.2 million in net sales tax revenues for the city and $9.5 million in net sales tax revenues for the state.
Well, what are some of the big success stories, Walter?
Well, we've got the Hampton Inn being built downtown that will take a huge step toward the goal of trying to get 1,000 rooms downtown for our convention center. That 1,000-room threshold for convention business is huge in being able to attract larger regional conventions to Baton Rouge. And this puts us within about 150 rooms of that goal. We've helped finance a huge expansion at Honeywell that helped save about 200 very high-paying jobs to allow them to go and change a certain product they have into more greener technology that's going to help our environment. We've participated in the financing of six different affordable housing units, and brought some very new, stylish affordable housing units on the market. And we've acquired a lot of land that has been blighted, and we've cleaned the title up and are now putting back into commerce.
297-5633 is your number. In our time with Walter Mansour, he is the president and CEO of the East Baton Rouge Redevelopment Authority. Ben downtown wants to know when the Hampton will open.
The Hampton is scheduled to open, I think, in August of next year. Clearly in time for football season, but possibly a little bit earlier than that, but no later than August of 2013.
Well, we've remarked on this show many times, but when you compare downtown today with, say, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, there's a big difference.
Huge difference, and I'm a big believer that downtown is the living room of any city. I don't think I've ever been to a city that has been progressive that hasn't had a very vibrant downtown, and there been great strides. The downtown development district's done a tremendous job. This mayor has dedicated himself to revitalizing downtown. There's several major corporations that unfortunately were allowed to move out of the city into the suburbs several years ago that we see other cities have strained to keep those in their downtown areas. And of course, your hindsight's 2020, but I think collectively all the business leaders are doing everything they can to rebuild Baton Rouge, because they understand the importance to the entire city.
Jerry asks about Old South Baton Rouge. How is that redevelopment going?
Old South Baton Rouge is one of our target areas, and particularly the Nicholson Drive corridor. We're working hand in glove with LSU, who's now got a master plan to redevelop the north gates of LSU in and around what we referred to as the old Married Students Apartments, what was the old Alex Box Stadium. But even going further toward town, our goal is to connect downtown with the North Gates through the main corridor, which is Nicholson Drive. We're working with the state to reroute the trucks off of Nicholson Drive to make it more commercially and retail-friendly.
Now, a few weeks ago, we had a lesson in traffic in this area, the Carmageddon incident. How are we going to get around this issue? What can we do?
Well, clearly, there's a two-pronged approach, and I think both of them are very important. We do have to work on our arterials, but arterials are not going to take the place of at least a northern bypass, Interstate 10 and 12, because it's a connector that goes through Baton Rouge, is the most heavily traveled interstate in the country. The southern route from Jacksonville, Florida, to Los Angeles is the preferred trucking route because of the weather. And to that extent, we are just slammed in terms of our traffic, particularly at peak hours. As the capital area region continues mm-hmm. to grow, and it will, it's forecasted to be a much larger region mm-hmm. over the next 5 years. We're going to see an increase in traffic, and we have to have an alternative route to I-10, 12, because when there's an accident, you're not going to be able to access the arterials in an appropriate fashion. Those choices have to be made further out, and those choices have to be made somewhere on the east around Walker and somewhere on the west around Rama.
Well, as far as the Redevelopment Authority goes, 3 years and going, where does it go from here?
Well, we have a lot more work to do. We're one of the lead agencies and departments for the implementation of Future BR, which is the master plan for how Baton Rouge is not only redeveloped but also to grow in the future. And we're going to need permanent funding. We're putting together a good case to be made to the mayor and to the council on how we should be permanently funded. We're going to track the other development authorities across mm-hmm. the country, and we're going to show how they've done it successfully and hopefully be able to accomplish the same.
Mm-hmm. Now, we noted that you worked for two vigorous mayors, and a listener asks about your role. You were the top aide to both Mayor Screen and Mayor Holden. Sometimes you have to be an appeaser. Sometimes you have to be an enforcer. How do you do it?
Well, I was very fortunate in having success under both of those men. And it's a lot of work. Obviously, the chief administrative officer in our form of government actually acts as the commissioner of administration as well as the chief of staff. So you have to balance the politics as well as the operational end of your job. But I've always found open communication is the best way. People may not like what I say, but they know that I'm going to say it. They don't have to look over their shoulder with me. If I disagree with you, I'm going to tell you. I can respect you and disagree mm-hmm. with you, but I think that that you communicate each and every way and every day that you can so that there will be no misunderstandings. And I find that you can resolve a lot of things like that. I'm commonly known to be pretty hard-nosed, but I get a lot done by being able to compromise. You just draw the line on what principle you won't mm-hmm. go past.
There are those who say the mayor fared better when you were at his side.
I was fortunate. The mayor allowed me to do what I did, and he's to get all the credit for it. I had a good run as his chief administrative officer. We had a good first term, and he never said no, and I think he's to be given a lot of credit for mm-hmm. that.
Would you ever go back?
I doubt it, seriously. I'm too long in the tooth, and I've got a big job ahead of me with the Redevelopment Authority, which I think is absolutely critical for the future of Baton Rouge.
Well, lastly, you talked about the need for arterial routes. That's something we've been talking about a long time. Easier said than done.
Absolutely. You know, it's very difficult to ask neighborhoods to expand their streets. Everybody wants privacy in their neighborhoods. But clearly there are some grids that we can enhance, and I think the Greenlight Plan is doing a lot to do that. I think that it would be great if we could extend the Greenlight Plan. We originally wanted to do that as a permanent tax. The people had been very comfortable with what was known as the mm-hmm. pothole tax. We expanded it greatly in the mayor's first administration, and I think it's paid off in spades. If we make that a permanent tax, not increase a tax, but simply make it a permanent tax, it will expand our bonding capacity and therefore our ability to do more.
Well, thank you, Walter Mansour, President and CEO of the East Baton Rouge Redevelopment Authority. Good to visit with you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Let's do it again.
Anytime. Thank you.
And we'll return and talk about last night's debate number 3 between President Obama and Governor Romney after this one-minute pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757 and Inkstershow at WRKF.org. Last night it was debate number 3 between President Obama and Governor Romney sparring on foreign policy in their final bout in Boca Raton. And the election is 2 weeks away. Obama and Romney wrapped up their 3-debate exchange with a bristling exchange over America's place in the world. And we will talk about it with Democrat Joe Delpit, former Speaker Pro Tem of the Louisiana House of Representatives. And we were talking with Walter Mansour about Old South Baton Rouge. This is the man who is the prince of Old South Baton Rouge. And we'll also be joined by John Treen, veteran Louisiana politico, brother of the former governor, the late, great David Treen, and a ranking Republican in this state. Before we get to John and Joe, Kevin, let's give a listen to last night's exchange, one of the more spirited ones between the president and Governor Romney.
Our Navy is smaller now than any time since 1917. The Navy said they needed 313 ships to carry out their mission. We're now down to 285. We're headed down to the low 200s if we go through with sequestration. That's unacceptable to me. I want to make sure that we have the ships that are required by our Navy. Our Air Force is older and smaller than any time since it was founded in 1947. We've changed for the first time since FDR. We've always had the strategy of saying we could fight in 2 conflicts at once. Now we're changing to 1 conflict. Look, this, in my view, is the highest responsibility of the President of the United States, which is to maintain the safety of the American people. And I will not cut our military budget by $1 trillion. Which is a combination of the budget cuts that the president has, as well as the sequestration cuts. That, in my view, is making our future certain and less secure.
Bob, I just need to comment on this. First of all, the sequester is not something that I proposed. It's something that Congress has proposed. It will not happen. The budget that we're talking about is not reducing our military spending. It's maintaining it. But I think Governor Romney maybe hasn't spent enough time looking at how our military works. You mentioned the Navy, for example, and that we have fewer ships than we did in 1916. Well, Governor, we also have fewer horses and bayonets because the nature of our military has changed. We have these things called aircraft carriers where planes land on them. We have these ships that go underwater, nuclear submarines. And so the question is not a game of battleship where we're counting ships. It's what are our capabilities? And so when I sit down with the Secretary of the Navy and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, we determine how are we going to be best able to meet all of our defense needs.
That was the president last night responding to Governor Romney as the two engaged in a high-stakes debate over foreign policy. And as mentioned, our guests are Joe Delpit, ranking Democrat, former Speaker Pro Tem of the Louisiana House of Representatives, in studio, and joining us telephonically from his perch in Metairie is John Treen, the longtime Louisiana Republican political activist. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning to you. It's nice to be with you again.
What is your assessment of the outcome of last night's debate?
I don't think it's going to change many votes, quite frankly. I think that Romney was better on some of the facts, but I think that Obama was better at his delivery. He's a very, very good speaker, and I think that has an impact on voters, although I think that the facts should carry more weight than likability or speaking ability. I think that the net outcome of the debate would not have a great impact on the election either way.
Joe Delpit, how did you see it?
Well, I think that Governor Romney was kind of out of his league. Obviously, the president had an advantage being on the inside, knowing from day to day what's going on in the affairs that he has to protect every day. So clearly, I think the president was head and shoulders above the performance last night in the debate. I must agree with Mr. Treen, I don't know how many votes that will change, but hopefully it will change some in Obama camp. Mm-hmm.
Well, they were debating over the world, but in essence, the election may come down to a few counties in Ohio. John Treen, how do you see the election 2 weeks out?
As of now, it will be very close, but I have a reason for believing that Romney will win. And the reason is this. Historically, undecided voters the last week change 75 to 80% for the challenger and only 20 to 25% for the incumbent. Now, this is historical fact. And with the undecided vote now, with him practically even in most polls, the undecided vote at 6 or 7% means that Romney is going to get three-fourths of that, and I think that will put him over the top. Now, this can change, of course, because certain events, certain facts, certain missteps by either candidate can have a serious impact on the number of votes they get. But as of today, since the polls are very, very close, and in fact, for all practical purposes, they're tied, and with the facts about the undecided voters breaking against the incumbent, I would say that as of today, Romney would win. But that is no assurance in my mind that he will win, because a lot of things can happen in the next few days that could change all of this. We're in a This election is in a state of flux to a greater degree than almost any election I've ever seen. And I think a lot of people have questions about both candidates, quite frankly. And there's not only the undecided vote, but I think in each camp there's some votes that are leaning that way but could be persuaded to go the other way. So I think that this is going to go down to the last day, in my opinion, and I think that's true.
How do you see it, Joe?
Well, I see President Obama winning it, certainly not by a landslide, but I do see him winning it. I think that people will be more focused on domestic issues as we get closer to Election Day. And the polls are one thing, but the only real poll that counts is the poll on Election Day. I do believe that Governor Romney made a horrific mistake when he said that 47% of the people in America really don't count. And while he tried to clear it up and clean it up, I mean, when you speak something naturally and it comes out in a national election like that, hopefully what he said was going to be an extra push to motivate Obama supporters to get out there in force.
Was that a big mistake, John?
Yes. It was, but I think that the impact of it has decreased as time has gone by. I don't think that he meant that. I think that he wasn't clear in his meaning. I think he made a mistake, a bad choice of words, which happens to everyone. And I don't think that his feeling is that 47% of the people don't count. I think that what he meant was that an awful lot of people in this country, because of dependency on the government, have a tendency to want to vote Democrat because the Democrats, as a practical matter, are bigger supporters of welfare programs and that type of thing than the Republicans are. I'm not saying that critically. I'm saying that as a matter of fact. And historically, that is true. So, that was a mistake. But then every candidate makes mistakes. I mean, Obama's made mistakes, too. I mean, it's stating that killings in Syria were a result of popular uprising instead of a planned attack was a mistake. In Libya, yeah. But that was a mistake. So, you know, every candidate makes mistakes. I've never known one who didn't. Even Franklin Roosevelt made a couple of them. I'm old enough to remember that. But the fact is that, yes, candidates make mistakes, and it does affect votes in a number of cases. I think, however, that is not really the issue here. The issue is basically the economy and what can be done to fix it, and who's best qualified to do so. And in my judgment, Obama has not come up with any specific ideas or programs for the next 4 years, and the last 4 years have been economic, I shouldn't say catastrophe, but they've been negative economically, and he has not come up with any specific ideas about how to change or correct that problem. And I want to make this point. One of the things that Romney has that's a big advantage, he does have business experience. And as you know, business is what creates the jobs and what creates the tax base. If it wasn't for businesses, we wouldn't have jobs. We wouldn't have even have any taxes. The government would go under. And understanding tax, understanding how business works is a big advantage. And also, it is being anti-business is being anti-American, because this is what creates the jobs for the Americans. And I think that Obama has not, I don't say he's anti-business, I don't think he understands business. I'm going to make this point. If somebody is picked as president of General Motors or General Electric, whose only experience was as a community organizer, a few years in Illinois legislature, and 2 years in the United States Senate, to be president chief executive officer of General Motors or General Electric, the stock would plummet.
297-5633 is your number. We'll go to the phone lines with John Treen, Republican, and Joe Delpit, Democrat. Story today in the New York Times saying that an unseen force looms large over the race, George W. Bush. He has not made any appearances this year with Mitt Romney, his fellow Republican. Joe Delpit, why not?
Well, obviously, I don't think that President Bush buy into all of Mr. Romney's programs, and certainly doesn't buy into the rhetoric. I mean, I think Mr. Bush knows that Mr. Romney at one time had a different position on abortion. He had a different position on how he dealt with the health care problems. He, matter of fact, President Obama kind of took his pattern in Massachusetts and came forth and was able to make it work to try and get people who didn't have health care in America get it, and which is something that Republicans and Democrats have been working on for years and years. I think that Mr. Bush kind of see what's going on. In reality, he's been there, and he know what it is. I think this guy, Mark Cuban, who owns the Dallas Mavericks, made it quite clear when they had these three mega rich guys interviewed on CNN. The gentleman asked Mark Cuban, who are you for? He said, well, I'm for Obama. I know where he is. I know what he stands for. He's done what he's done, and it is what it is, and I have confidence in him being able to change this thing and move it forward, because he's already on the right track.
Bob on Harold's Ferry, you're on with Joe Delpit and John Treen. Hi, Bob.
Yes, good morning. You know, Mr. Romney's had a lot of positions, and he had new ones last night that had not been uttered before. Just makes it very hard. I don't think his business experience should be of much comfort to the country, because the vulture capitalism is what got us into this mess, and he obviously misunderstood the Detroit situation. It wasn't a matter of companies that weren't performing. It was an economic collapse, and only the government could step in. So I don't find his business experience very reassuring.
John, what do you think?
Well, first of all, Romney's position was a position that a lot of people thought was an excellent position, was not to have them go out of business, but to go through bankruptcy, which would not have cost the government money. And if they had done that, they would have cut a lot of the costs, which would allow General Motors to be more competitive in the future than they are now. Because one of the problems American car manufacturers have is that they're not as competitive as they used to be because of the high costs they have. And this is why the foreign cars, and this is, and I've never bought anything but an American-made car, and I never will. But this is one of the problems we have. They cannot be totally competitive because of the higher cost. This would have allowed General Motors and Chrysler to reduce their costs, and they would have allowed them to become more competitive. So it wasn't he wanted to get rid of the cars. He wanted a different method of putting them back in business.
Alvin in Mid-City. Alvin, you're on with John Treen and Joe Delpit. Hi, Alvin.
Good morning. I think last night, I want to make this statement before I ask my question, was a very prime example of Mitt Romney trying to free himself as a captive of the very extremes of the Republican Party, which is why, depending on the setting and the audience, he continues to change his positions on things. My question here is for both, but primarily for Mr. Delpit, having been around a while and having broken some racial barriers here locally. How much do you see and this is for Mr. Treen as well, quite honestly, how much do you see the opposition to Obama in Louisiana? And it's very strong. How much do you think race has to do with that? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Alvin. Joe?
Well, I think President Clinton kind of hit it on the head. He said even he couldn't have cleaned up the mess that he inherited, not just in one term, but over several terms that has been developing in America on the issues and problem, the economic issues, the domestic issues, and all the other problems that have been coming about. I have nothing but admiration for President Obama to be able to come in here and change it. I'm clear in my mind that if Mr. Obama was not black, that he would not have all of the questions that would raise him. This man has done a memorable job in attempting to clean up some of this. I know for a fact in Louisiana, I mean, I have great respect for the Treen family, Mr. John Treen, when he ran against Dave Duke. The Republicans embraced Dave Duke and went against him. And this man is a very clean man. His brother Dave was a very good man. And we have some problems in Louisiana and the United States about race, and I do believe that.
John, how much of the opposition to the president in Louisiana is related to his race?
I can't say that there is none. There probably is some, but I don't think it is a major factor, quite frankly. In fact, there are a lot of people that think that one good thing about Obama being elected is that it demonstrated to young black people that there was no limit in what they could achieve, and that set a good example. The opposition in Louisiana to Obama is not primarily based on race. It's based on results. Now, the fact is that in the last 4 years, our economy has declined substantially, and we have lost impact in the world. And this is because of the policies he has, and I think that, quite honestly, it's because I think Obama is well-motivated. I think he wants to do a good job for the United States, and I think he's a good person. But I think that, frankly, he is not qualified, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's in over his head. But as a practical matter, I don't think race has a lot to do with it anymore. I know that in some cases it does. But let me make this point. It makes a difference on the other side, too, because a lot of black people will vote for him no matter what he does because he's black, and that is a fact. So if you're going to bring in racism, let's say it applies to both sides.
Joe?
Well, certainly there is racism on both sides in America. However, the facts speak for themselves. There's no other human being in the world that could have come in and turn this thing around to get it on track President Obama has. And I just think that if people analyze what has happened, and even with the employment changing now, and clearly I'd rather put my hands and my life in the hands of somebody who has proven himself to have the courage, the ability, and the skills, and the team to help get this thing. And we are moving in the right direction. I just think that nobody in 4 years, even in 8 years, is going to be hard. But I do think in his next term, he'll be able to get in there and make a significant difference on this.
We will return with Joe Delpit, former Louisiana Speaker Pro Tem, longtime lawmaker in Baton Rouge, and John Treen, who been a Republican activist, the brother of the former governor, David Connor Treen, who led Louisiana from 1980 to 1984. We pause for 1 minute on WRKF 89.3 in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Joe Delpit and John Treen, Democrat and Republican, squaring off as the president and Mitt Romney did last night in Boca Raton, Florida, the other big BR. And now we're 14 days away from the presidential election, and it shapes up as a tight race. John Treen predicts Mitt Romney will win. Joe Delpit predicts President Obama will win a second term. Now, for those who say race is not a factor, and for those who do, here's a statement by none other than Newton Leroy Gingrich about the president that some have said has a racial context.
I'm assuming there's some rhythm to Barack Obama that the rest of us don't understand, whether he needs large amounts of rest, whether he needs to go play basketball for a while. I don't quite, you know, watch ESPN.
Joe, what do you think?
Proof is in the pudding. Not only a Newt, but, I mean, even our delegation sometimes seem to show, and particularly people like Rush Limbaugh, I mean, they come out and say, it matters not what he does. We're against him anyway. We're against anything he's for, because our objective is to get him out of office. Why? I mean, if things are changing so much and to fix the problems we have, it's obvious to me that other people, he couldn't get Osama bin Laden. He had the courage. He had the nerves. He came up with the plan. He had to prove it. They went and got this man. This man is responsible for many American lives that were taken on 9/11. So I don't understand the reluctance of wanting to embrace the man. Obviously, it's more than performance.
All right. John Treen.
I don't agree with that. By the way, the search for Osama bin Laden started under George Bush. It was his program, George H.W. Bush. And by the way, you mentioned George Bush, W. Bush hadn't taken part. Other past presidents haven't either. It is very common that past presidents stay out of politics for the rest of their lives. And this has happened. There's a number of them, they just stay out of the issues. They don't get involved. And there's a reason for this. Now, you say that he's a proven success. Actually, Obama's a proven failure. This, we have less influence in the world. Unemployment is at 23 million. He said he's going to cut the deficit in half. He doubled it. He said there's going to be change. Well, he changed things. He changed them for the worse.
Here's a question from Tommy. He says, how can John Treen say that race is not playing a role in the presidential race when David Duke got nearly 600,000 votes or 700,000 votes in a statewide race? John, your response.
I did not say he doesn't have a role. I says I don't think it is a major player in this election. Yes, it does have. It affects people on both sides, and Joe Delpit admitted it, that there's race on both sides, and that does have an impact, but I don't think it's a major impact, and I think the last election proved it.
Joe?
He won by a big margin in spite of the fact that he was a member of a minority, and I think that's one of the positive things that about his election was that we demonstrated to the world that we were not a racist country anymore.
Well, I don't think that black people in Louisiana and the United States are voting for Obama just because he's black. Matter of fact, I've said several times, President Obama is a great president. Oh, incidentally, he happens to be black, because that's the way I feel about it. This man has done great wonders.
Now, John just said we're not a racist country anymore.
Oh, I don't know where my friend Mr. John has been living, but I think even Ray Charles could see through that.
Now, John, we're not as racist, but I think most people would concede that there is still racism in America.
I said that, didn't I? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there is some racism.
Okay.
On both sides.
Very good. Richard and Broussard. Richard, you're on with John and Joe.
Yes, I just wanted to point out that, Obama gets a bad rap because of the economy over the last 4 years. But after the recession of 1929, it took 17 years for the economy to recover. And 3.5 years since Obama's been in there, there has been a steady increase in economic activity, and it's undeniable. But to expect that the worst crash since 1929 to be fixed in 3.5 years is absolutely ludicrous, and it sounds so stupid when people say it.
John?
I didn't say it would be completely fixed, but I said it has not improved. And, in fact, our deficit has gotten worse, which is going to create serious problems for future generations. And the basic problem is that the way to improve our economy is to make our cost of production in this country less expensive, which means get the government out of the way to a large extent, And the way to improve the economy is to reduce the tax load so that more money, the people can spend more money on goods, production of goods and services rather than on government services. And this, I think, is the approach. But I think that the last 4 years, you say that it's been a big improvement. No, it hasn't. When you have to borrow money, $6 billion from foreign countries to keep your economy going, then you haven't improved the economy. You've hurt it.
I think that's $6
trillion. $6 trillion. You've hurt the economy because this is going to cost interest for generations, and to pay that back is going to mean money out of the pockets of the taxpayers to pay back those foreigners who will then use that money to buy the goods and services of us rather than us buying them for ourselves.
Well, John, you are right. The president did say he would cut the deficit in half. But Mitt Romney the other night in debate number two said he would eradicate the deficit. Now, do you really?
He said in 10 years.
He didn't say that in the debate. Maybe he's saying it 10 years now.
Yes, he did.
No,
yes, he
well,
did,
let's lift Kevin. Do we have Romney from the other night? Let's see if we can get him in debate number two. Joe Delpit, I want you to respond, then we'll go back to
well,
the phone.
Well, okay. I'll wait.
All right. Paul in Opelousas, you're on, Paul, with John and Joe.
Hello, Jim. Great show and a great topic. Just a question to your guest. I work at a small oil refinery in Krotz Springs, Louisiana. Right now we have double capacity, and it's something very small, a tiny fraction compared to Exxon and Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge right now, Exxon is about to hire another 2,000 people. Do you consider that an improvement in socioeconomically strived Louisiana? In the past 4 years, I think I'm doing much better than I did 4 years ago. Thank you. And I just want to actually get that question. Do you
right.
think we're doing better?
I didn't.
He says he's doing better where he is. Perhaps that's because of Governor Jindal. What do you think?
Well, one person doing better is not an indication for the whole country. You have to look at those. Some people do better. Some people did worse even when things were booming. You can't look at one person and say this is an indication of the whole economy. You have to look at the whole economy as a whole to make a judgment on this. And our economy, the jobs are down. We're allowing, by the way, one of the problems we have in this country with unemployment is we allow foreign guest workers 1.5 million a year to come into this country. So under President Obama, we've imported over 5 million guest workers in this country when we have big unemployment in this country. I think that's ridiculous.
I guess we have, you go to that old saying, it takes two to tango. And I'm puzzled as to why American people don't look more at the congressional efforts of what when President Obama has brought plans and brought solutions to the congressional bodies, particularly on the House side, which is now majority Republican, and put it out there, and they made it obviously clear. We're going to be against this because he's for it, and we want to see him lose. We're not going to do anything to help. It's not helping him, and that's that sad attitude that we have in thinking we're helping the president. We're helping America.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning. Apart from any race problems, do you think class is a factor? Corporate interests with lobbyists can influence legislation and executive branch regulation, along with getting insurance defense lawyers on the federal bench.
What about class, John Treen?
Well, first of all, unions have a great impact on the Democrat Party. And is that class warfare? Yes, different people do have influence, and I think that the lobbyists have more influence than they should have. I think it should be based on the merits, not on support. So I'm not in favor of what the lobbyists do either, but one of the biggest and most successful lobbyists in Washington, D.C. are the labor unions. So take that into consideration when you condemn the lobbyists.
David in Lafayette. David, you're on.
Yes, on it. It's obvious that Mr. Treen will always find something negative and against the Democrats. But, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm asking this of Jim. President Bush took office the first term, Bush Jr., of course, was there not a surplus in the government?
There was a surplus, yes. There was a debt but there was a surplus for the preceding year, yes.
Yes, okay. And when he left, did he not leave the country in one of the biggest economic messes ever?
Well, we had a historically high deficit, which has been exceeded by the current president.
And it's kind of just, it befuddles me that Mr. Treen just kind of skipped over that completely.
All right. Thank you, David. John, your response?
I don't skip over anything like that completely. I think that the debt, I think that both parties have been guilty of increasing the debt. And if you go back historically, that is a fact. And I think they've both been wrong in doing that. I think that the only time a debt is justified is when you're in a war or when you're something, a serious tragedy occurs. But to go into debt, it's just like an individual going into great debt of, to buy his lunches and to go on parties and to go on trips. And this is what the United States has been doing. It's one thing to go into debt to buy a house or buy a car because you have an asset to show for it. But both parties have been guilty. And I think one of the big problems is many of them in both parties look to the next election rather than the good of the American people.
Here's a question or a statement from Andy Batson. He says, corporate America and Republicans raided pension funds to make money and leverage their business, leaving millions of hardworking people broke and dependent on so-called government entitlements. Mr. Treen needs to be called out on this. John Treen?
Well, I'm not even familiar with that. That's something that's new to me. I can't comment on that because I don't know that much about it. But you know, if you talk about people not taking care of the people, what about the enormous debt we have that our future generations have to pay for? And not only have to pay for it, they got to pay interest and got to pay it back to foreign countries.
Joe?
I don't know. It's obvious that Obama has brought by plans and action, and the economy can get better, will get better, and I think the president is on track to get it better. I do think we need to have more cooperation with both the president as well as Congress in order to make a change, not for any party, but for America. We need the Democrats and Republicans working together now more than ever before. And it seems as if this, I guess, some sort of sport with some people, and it's control. And obviously the multimillionaires who are supporting the Republican Party, who want to maintain the status quo and protect their interests. I don't understand why the Congress don't want to take it on, and the people who can afford to pay taxes, to make them do so. I mean, president brought it to the table. It'll raise much money and get this country moving again. I don't understand it.
John, you get the final word.
Raising taxes does not help get the country moving again. Raising taxes takes money out of the pockets of the taxpayers, which they could use to spend on goods and services, which creates jobs. But taking the money out of their pockets and putting it into the government's pocket is not a job creator. It's a job killer.
All right. Well, thank you, John Treen, and thank you, Joe Delpit. You're a good duo. Let's do it again.
Thank you very much.
State officials say that 36% of public schools in Louisiana are rated D and F. Those numbers are not good, but that's down from 44% last year. And with us in our final moments this hour to talk about it is the Chief Officer for Accountability and Assessment in the East Baton Rouge Parish School System, Liz Frischertz. Good morning to you, Liz.
Good morning. You did that really well, Frischertz. I'm impressed.
That's a good name. German, I would imagine. Yeah,
there you go.
Well, tell us why Baton Rouge is crowing about these numbers.
We're really pleased with the schools that showed achievement. For the second year in a row, we have over 80% of our schools that have increased their school performance score. And we had our highest score ever as a district at 92.9, which means we're a C school, not a D school, according to the letter grading system of the state.
So the letter grade's gone up?
Yes, sir.
From a C. When do you get to a B?
Next year we'll be there. We're doing some great things.
Well, why? Why did it happen? Why was there improvement?
Well, the high school switch test that allowed, instead of a more general test, the high schools are now doing end-of-course and unit tests. And across the state, you saw a good increase in our high schools. But also in our elementary and middle schools, we're focusing on getting the kids what they need immediately with data that comes back real time, with teachers getting a lot of in-service on that. And our teachers are working their hearts out. So it obviously shows it's working.
Now, Steve Monahan, the president of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers, says the gains show the state didn't need to enact laws earlier this year.
Well, the state has a specific plan in mind, and our teachers are rising to the challenge. The pilot that they did with the value added, our teachers were phenomenal. We outbeat the state. We know we have good teachers, but the value added pilot that showed how our teachers did bringing kids up a year, the majority of our teachers not only increase their students' achievement 1 year, it was 2 and 3 years worth of growth.
Well, the teachers deserve much credit for this.
Oh, definitely. And the families with the students. Our parents have come in. They're starting to come to meetings and learn how to help us and educate their children.
How are things going with the new superintendent?
Oh, it's great. I really enjoyed the press conference he did yesterday. He's such a quick study on Louisiana and its intricate accountability system. He's a good cheerleader also for our teachers and our students.
Well, we're going to bring you back next year. Your promise a B.
Tell you what, I like to wager. So we have right now, I get to go to Ruth Chris's because of this. So if we're B, Ruth Chris's it is.
Okay. And if we're not, we'll still do Ruth Chris's.
There you go.
Thank you. Liz Frischertz, the accountability department head in Baton Rouge, and she is very happy about the performance on this ranking scale for East Baton Rouge schools. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, same time. Until then, for Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Engster. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.